B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Middle East summit today in Annapolis, Maryland, was a kickstart for serious negotiations aimed at achieving peace between Israel and the Palestinians by the end of next year. CBS's Dan Raviv is in Annapolis.
Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas say they'll meet again in 2 weeks, then every 2 weeks, with a goal they've now declared, peace by the end of next year. No one has a clear answer about the Palestinian radicals in the Hamas group, which rules the Gaza Strip. Hamas is not here.
Negotiating session December 12th. A new poll shows Americans increasingly see the progress being made by the U.S. military in Iraq. But the Pew Research Center says people still want troops to come home as soon as they can. Last February, only 30% of the people said things were going well in Iraq. Now it is 48%. Downright unusual reports of injuries suffered by some who take Tamiflu for influenza. It's been recommended as a prophylactic for bird flu. And today in Gaithersburg, Maryland, FDA advisors called for stronger label warning.
Delirium. And even some types of self-injury.
Dr. Carol Baker in Houston says problems have been noted, particularly in Japan, because it's so widely used there. Some children have jumped from buildings. Do you know who you are? More importantly, is someone else you too?
The Federal Trade Commission says millions of Americans are victims of identity theft. Half of all thieves will go on to charge or steal $500 or less. While a majority of victims won't have to pay out of their own pockets to clear things up, they do still face headaches trying to get new credit cards or loans. Some also report being harassed by debt collectors.
CBS's Cammie McCormick there says in 2005, 8.3 million people lost their identity to thieves. Washington Redskins head coach Joe Gibbs says everyone on the team's going to miss Sean Taylor, star safety and friend.
I think that really, you know, what got cut short here was a career that was going to go to a lot of Pro Bowls and have a lot of fun, and that's what we're going to miss.
The investigation into the shooting death of Taylor continues in Florida. He was just 24. Oil prices did a nice thing today, down by $3.28 to $94.42 a barrel. John Kilduff is an energy analyst at MF Global.
Consumers are still going to see somewhat higher prices at the gas pump and are likely to see even higher prices at the heating oil spigot. However, to the extent we can now stave off $100 oil, some of our worst fears, such as $4 gasoline, won't be realized.
Wall Street, the Dow was up 215 points today. The Nasdaq gained nearly 40. It's a reasonable facsimile of a $1 million bill. Only problem is the U.S. government never printed a $1 million bill. So when the man, Alexander Smith, allegedly tried to open a bank account in Aiken, South Carolina with one and cussed out the tellers when they wouldn't let him do it, police explained his boo-boo to him on the way to jail. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday only, from 4 p.m. to close, get 75% off the Craftsman Cordless Impact Screwdriver, just $9.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for future exclusive offers just for you. That's Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/26/07 through 11/27/07.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Flames are out, but worry remains in Malibu, California, where dozens of multi-million dollar homes burned in the last bout with wildfire.
This is all a learning process for me, so I'm walking through it.
This parking lot is dotted with tables and tents from FEMA, insurance outfits, and neighbors who just want to show support. The fire that destroyed over 50 homes has been surrounded, but it still has some hot spots. That's a concern as the winds are supposed to pick up again tonight. In the relief lines here, there have been some tears, but mostly a resolute optimism. and nobody seems anxious to leave.
I'm just going to build it again. I mean, it's just go through the motions and just build it again.
Andrew Mullenbach, CBS News, Malibu, California.
More than a little bit amazing, Dr. Kenneth Merkich is an obstetrician gynecologist at Gunderson Lutheran Medical Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Been there 19 years. But he says the 24 hours heading into last weekend are unique for him. He delivered four sets of twins. Four. Says after a while you're up all night, you might as well just keep delivering babies. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and U handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Collins. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
A fly on the dashboard of your car might report the reaction is, oh, him again. Yeah, it's him again, Peter B. Collins. Delighted to be with you here live from San Francisco. We've got a lot to talk about. Are you ready? We'll kick off the show in a moment with a look at Hugo Chavez consolidating power in Venezuela, a big referendum coming up this Sunday. Also this hour on the foreign policy front, what I call the No Expectations Peace Conference got underway in Annapolis at the Naval Academy today. Oh, it's got photo ops and flowery speeches, but will anything actually happen? We're going to get two views later this hour. Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller is with a Jewish peace and justice group here in this country that has issued their own communique on the occasion of these renewed talks. And also Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies, an expert on the Middle East, will be joining us. That's coming up later this hour. Also on today's program, Google. You know it is a verb, but it's also a noun. And the company Google has announced a sweeping effort to convert web-based companies to alternative energy sources. And Dr. Larry Brilliant, wouldn't your parents have done a better job if they gave you a name like that? Dr. Larry Brilliant, who is the executive director of the Google Foundation, Google.org, will be joining us next hour to tell us what they're up to. We're also going to take a look at two ballot measures that are pending here in California. One would extend term limits of legislators. That's Proposition 93. And the other is this GOP power grab that would realign the way we divide up electoral votes in this state. Currently, we don't divide them. It's winner take all. But this Republican-backed scheme would change the rules here in the middle of the game, and it's quite an interesting enterprise. Dan Weintraub, a columnist and political observer there at the Sacramento Bee, will be joining us next hour to update us on those two key issues. And there's lots of room for your phone calls today. You know the number? It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And my email's on. I check during most breaks, so feel free to drop me a note. Peter@peterbcollins.com. Up first today is Dan Restrepo. He is the director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress in Washington. He used to work on Capitol Hill and has focused on policy toward Latin America and the Caribbean. And he had some other jobs there at the Center for American Progress before he took over the Americas Project. Dan Restrepo, welcome to our program.
Good to be with you.
And I know you're bilingual, so I'll say bienvenidos.
Gracias.
And pushing my Spanish to the limit, ¿qué pasa in Venezuela? I'm one of those people who was on Hugo Chavez's side, even up to the point where he cozied up with Castro and Ahmadinejad. And, you know, he gave discounts to elderly people in the northeast United States on their heating oil. And he was doing a lot of good populist stuff. But I have reservations now because there's a major referendum that will consolidate his power and essentially enable him to become president for life. And even I'm a little uncomfortable with this, Dan.
Yeah, there's good reason to be uncomfortable with it. He has taken his electoral legitimacy, which is unquestioned. The man has now stood for elections in Venezuela four times since 1998 and won each and every time in fairly free and fair elections. But he is increasingly governed in an anti-democratic way, and this set of reforms that are about to be voted on by the Venezuelan people this weekend would really kind of they almost raise the question of whether a democracy can vote itself out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And the most troubling aspect of it is the consolidation of power and the ability that Chavez would have to essentially hold the presidency indefinitely in Venezuela. That's never been a real good recipe anywhere in the world. To allow the indefinite presidencies, and it seems that Venezuela is headed in that direction.
Yeah, and if you could run down for us the key elements of this referendum. I know it allows essentially unlimited terms for the president. It allows him to hand pick. I don't even think that his legislature has to confirm the governors of the various states of Venezuela. What else is in the package?
Correct. It goes so far as to allow him to redraw the lines of states. Within Venezuela. Venezuela today is a federal state, much like the United States,
mm-hmm.
Where governors have a fair amount of power. It would both strip the power from governors and would create a unitary state with the president with having the authority to redraw political boundaries within the country.
Mm-hmm.
It would place the central bank under the control of the president more so than it already is. Right now it has a fairly independent governance structure. It would eliminate presidential terms, as we said, or allow indefinite re-election of presidents.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a fair amount of a number of provisions that speak to the economic organization of the state in Venezuela to encourage more socialist economic structures. It would also kind of prioritize communal property over personal and private property. It would actually one of the things that has been thrown in there as a sweetener, perhaps for the voting public, is that it would shorten the work week by a number of hours. I think it would shorten the work day by 2 hours each day while leaving wages the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this blend of kind of direct populism, if you will, but at its core, there are a set of provisions that will consolidate Chavez's ability to govern the country essentially from the presidency
mm-hmm.
Without the consent of anyone else.
And does it change the structure of control of the military, Dan?
It changes the nature of the military. It allows for the politicization of the military in a way that the Venezuelan military has avoided in the past, with the obvious exception of Chavez himself, who comes from the military. But it would change the mission statement of the Venezuelan military in a way that would allow for much more politicization of the body and would allow him to consolidate control. One of the potential threats to his ability to continue governing in the way he has done is there may be rifts within the Venezuelan military. It has been traditionally quite supportive of Chavez given his own military background, but in the last couple of weeks you've seen and a very important defection, the former Venezuelan defense minister, who is a very close ally of President Chavez,
mm-hmm.
has come out against the referendum and the constitutional amendments in large measure because of what it does to the independence of the military. And I think that is reflective of this tension that exists within the military and that he is trying to short-circuit or trying to get a grasp on by changing the nature of the institution to give him, again, more control over its composition, membership, and decisions as to who gets promoted and who doesn't, to be able to consolidate his hold on power.
We're talking with Dan Restrepo. He is director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress. And we're discussing the upcoming referendum in Venezuela. It's scheduled for this Sunday, the 2nd of December. And any advanced polling, Dan, that you've seen, is this likely to pass intact?
Polling's kind of tough to figure out in Venezuela right now. There's a decent amount of what seems to be reliable polling indicating that the referendum is actually trailing at the moment, or support for the referendum is trailing. The Venezuelan political opposition has been horribly organized over the last 6 or 7 years, and there are divisions within that opposition, and there's a struggle going on to this day as to whether they're going to advocate people boycotting the vote on Sunday, or whether they're going to advocate people going out and voting against the referendum on Sunday. The opposition has reservations as to how free and fair this election is going to be, and whether if a majority actually votes it down, that result will be seen in public. So right now the polling actually indicates that this is going to be a very close vote, which in and of itself raises a bunch of questions as to whether you can have this kind of profound change in direction of a state from a free enterprise-based federal state to a unitary state whose mission is to become a socialist republic and to spread a socialist revolution across the hemisphere. If you can do that with even a small margin, even if it was a free and fair election, whether 51% of the vote really should be enough to do something like that.
Are there any American political consultants or advisors involved here, Dan? Because we know that Mark Penn, a top advisor and pollster for Hillary Clinton, was polling and advising the Chavez opponent in the most recent election campaign.
Yeah, there has been in the past consultants working in this space. Sorry about that. Sometimes with the two languages, I have trouble.
I bet. I have trouble just with English. So.
So there have been in the past political consultants from the United States working. Because the opposition has been so fractured and disorganized, there really hasn't been the wherewithal to bring them in this instance. So I am not aware of U.S. political consultants involved on either side, although more likely to be on the opposition side than Chavez's side in all of this. I'm unaware if it in fact is going on at this point.
And Dan, one of the things that I think is important to frame this around is that the Bush administration actively supported a coup effort, and I don't know the exact details to the extent that U.S. operatives were directly involved, but it was very clear. This was back in I think 2002 that we were actively trying to overthrow the Chavez government, called a regime. When we don't like them. And I have to feel that this has fueled the power grab and the general receptivity that supporters have for it.
It certainly has. The U.S. government back in April of 2002, at the very least, celebrated a coup against a democratically elected government in a way that it absolutely should not have done. And from that moment forward, Hugo Chavez has been very clearly convinced that the U.S. government and the Bush administration was out to get him. And his political trajectory from that point forward has become more and more extreme at every step.
And, Dan, I reflect on our failed policy toward Cuba and that we've done it again. Attempting to overthrow an elected leader, that we have solidified his grip on power and the popular support he enjoys.
It's certainly part of a troubling trend where we provide rhetorical ammunition for what end up being repressive regimes. To justify their existence by pointing to a threat from the north. The most amazing part of all of this, though, of course, with Venezuela, is that Hugo Chavez is able to do what he does because of the money that he has, and he has the money that he has because we give it to him. The United States bought $34 billion worth of Venezuelan oil in 2006.
Yeah.
We're going to spend more than that in 2007 because of the increased price in oil.
Dan, I got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll return in just a moment. Dan Restrepo is our guest. He's director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress. You got a question about Venezuela and Hugo's big referendum coming up this Sunday? Call me now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. AM 540 KRSA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Dan Restrepo from the Center for American Progress about Hugo Chavez. Oh, yeah, he's living the Vida Loca there in Venezuela, getting ready to solidify power with a referendum that will permit him to run for president, without limit. So he could be, in fact, president for life. And, Dan, you know, one of the things that really concerned me was that college students went out into the streets to vocalize their opposition to the Chavez referenda package. And he cracked down on them just like it was Pakistan or the former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
He has. There have been a number of public demonstrations over the course of the last couple of weeks led by university students One of them ended up as students came, but both the government confronted them, obviously, and made it difficult for the demonstrations to go forward. But even more severe, and it's not entirely clear who was at fault here, when these students were returning to the university, masked gunmen opened fire on the crowd of students. It's not clear who those masked gunmen were. Nobody has been arrested. There's rampant speculation as to their having connections to Chavez and Chavez supporters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the kind of thing that should give everyone pause. In a leader who touts kind of direct democracy, he is standing in the way of people expressing their own will. And one of the actually interesting things, he's institutionalizing that. Among the constitutional reforms that are at issue on Sunday are changes that would make it harder to amend the Constitution than it is today.
And everybody has to wear red shirts and watch Hugo's TV shows. Dave and Eureka, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, gentlemen, I am of the belief, and I think rightly, that any world leader today that is motivated to act on behalf of his people, rather than just on the big corporate special interest, he's going to damn well need to get a big power base, because pressures can come from far away, from places such as the homeland, formerly known as the USA.
Uh-huh.
And we've known now for about 50 years, told about the hated dictator of Cuba, but we see a man who walks around with no security, with his people, in a private's uniform, no limousines, no crowns, no thrones. He has provided for everybody that there is a house, food, education. Maybe a person who wants to go that way will be presented to us in a slightly different way.
So you see the need for a maximum leader, and you can turn a blind eye to, you know, basically, as Dan pointed out, they are democratically dismantling a democratic government. That's a little bit much for me.
I dare say if he doesn't have a power base, they're coming after him.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Now to Chris in Sacramento. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Hello. My question actually is, why is this such a close-looking vote? What is in the referendum that would make the populace want to support a power grab? Or is it just there's enough wealthy people who support Hugo Chavez that is making this a close vote? I mean, I guess I don't even get why it's...
All right. Well, Dan, take a minute here. Give us a little breakdown of the electorate and what parts of it support Chavez and which don't.
Chavez's support has actually come obviously from the poor and disenfranchised in Venezuela in large measure, but his support traditionally has gone beyond that. He's actually normally polled a fair amount of Venezuelan middle class, and there actually is a Venezuelan middle class. Vote. He is polled in the various times he's run for office. He's gotten in the high 50s, low 60% in terms of popular support. There's about a 40% core of the country that has been opposed to Chavez. Some of that is wealthy people. A decent percentage of that is the wealthy people, but there aren't that many wealthy people in Venezuela. So the opposition to him has also kind of transcended socioeconomic criteria, although concentrated towards the wealthier end. What I think is happening here is twofold. One, even people who believe that the old regime in Venezuela, the old governing system, was politically corrupt and did not take care of the Venezuelan people, those people have pause about someone consolidating this much power.
Yeah.
They appreciate some of the things that Chavez has done for the poor. But they get a little queasy when it seems clear that he's kind of hell-bent on going even further.
Well, and Dan, for me, populism, fine. Socialism, okay if you want it. Authoritarianism, I'll say no thank you.
Right.
No gracias. I got to run, Dan. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dan Restrepo from the Center for American Progress.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Radio Shack. With their mix of products, accessories, and helpful advice, Radio Shack says you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff. I'm Charles Osgood. Notably absent from the Annapolis Conference on Israel and Palestine is Gaza. Gaza was taken over in June by Iranian-backed Islamist forces of Hamas, which want nothing to do with talking peace with Israel or with Mahmoud Abbas. And in retaliation for rockets Hamas has been firing into Israel, the Israeli government has sealed Gaza shut. The story after this. Radio Shack is bringing you the best gift card ever this holiday season. It makes gift-giving more convenient for you and makes sure that whoever you give it to can get their own amazing gift. The possibilities are endless. Digital cameras can turn them into movie directors. GPS devices can help them find their way anywhere. So get to Radio Shack and buy the best gift card ever. And when these amazing things start happening, just remember it. It all began at Radio Shack. Don't just buy stuff. Do stuff. The Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones fade background distractions so that you can hear your music more clearly. And they're so comfortable, you may forget you're wearing them. Call 800-611-1468 to try them for 30 days risk-free. Buy QC headphones by January 31st and get $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Call for details. They make a great gift. So call 800-611-1468. Last night on the CBS Evening News, Elizabeth Palmer reported from inside Gaza.
This is Gaza's main freight route into Israel. And normally this road would be bumper to bumper with heavily laden trucks. But it's completely closed, as is every other border crossing in the country. Nothing's coming into Gaza, and nothing is getting out.
5 months of that, of Hamas rule and isolation from the world, have taken a heavy toll. More than a million people need aid and food. John Ging is head of the UN Relief and Works Agency in Gaza.
It's really inhumane. People here are preoccupied with survival at the moment. Every family in Gaza is touched by a crisis.
In fact, says Elizabeth Farmer, all of Gaza's main businesses have shut down.
For 25 years, Mohammed Bala's juice factory hummed along, 24 Palestinian workers keeping the assembly lines moving. But a few weeks ago, Bala had to let all his employees go, a move he worries might help the extremists.
All of these people who have to stop work, they might become violent as a result.
One young student in Gaza who'd been accepted to study engineering in Canada has been told by Hamas he cannot leave.
Not all Gaza is Hamas. All Gaza is people, a human, want to live, want to study, want to work.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Today it's 33 minutes after the hour.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be
someday it's going to come.
Well, if you like the metaphor, the peace train pulled into Annapolis, Maryland earlier today, where George W. Bush, after ignoring the Israeli-Palestinian conflict all these years, has decided that, well, there's a year left in his term, and why not take a stab at it? Condoleezza Rice has gathered various folks from different nations in the Middle East. And on the one hand, it's interesting that, for example, Syria has agreed to participate, and that there will be many nations around the table. But I refer to this as the no expectations peace talk round, because George W. Bush is not a man of peace, and he doesn't have a vision or any moral leverage over these, disparate factions and fighting interests in this part of the world. And he hardly has set an example through his actions as president. So while I have limited expectations, I think that everyone is hopeful that the parties, despite the nature of this conference, they're probably happy that it's not in Dayton, Ohio, that the expectations are unusually low. And maybe that will become the basis for some sort of hope. I'm going to get a couple of views on these talks as they get underway. Rabbi Julie Sachs Toller is one of more than 100 rabbis across the United States affiliated with the Jewish Alliance for Peace and Justice, and they have issued a statement signed by 517 rabbis. I underestimated that number. And we'll read you a portion of that here in just a moment. Rabbi Sachs Toller, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for speaking up. We really appreciate that. And also with us is Phyllis Bennis. She is a senior fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she also co-chairs the U.S. campaign to end Israeli occupation. Phyllis, welcome back to our program.
Great to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. Rabbi Sachs Toller, let me turn to you first and ask you to tell us about the nature of this statement from more than 500 rabbis and what your own personal aspirations are for this conference as it gets underway.
Well, the over 500 rabbis and cantors who signed on are part of a movement that is actually much bigger than only the rabbis and cantors, but part of the now 87% in a recent poll of American Jews who want to see an administration that will help to push through a negotiated peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. So this call that that we have signed on to is a call to our own community to say that we need to speak up, we need to let people know, and particularly to let our presidential candidates know that for us, a pro-Israel candidate is somebody who not only has Israel in mind as a strategic ally for the U.S. in the Middle East, but who has the interests of Israeli and Palestinian lives in mind.
That's very important, and that's been missing from the equation for quite a while.
It has.
Mm-hmm. Your statement in part reads, "We urge the American Jewish community to stand behind the conference as it attempts to launch a negotiation process with the goal of a viable Palestinian state, living side by side and in peace with a secure Israel. We cannot emphasize strongly enough that Israel's long-term peace and security require that this conference be a true starting point for a real, sustained peace process, one characterized by consistent U.S. diplomatic engagement." And I used inflection to underscore that last part.
Yeah.
And this is what's really missing. Bush has made it very clear. He welcomed them to the conference and then he left and said that he is not personally going to attempt to broker an agreement between these two parties. So, Rabbi, do you have hopes for the kind of U.S. engagement that this statement calls for?
Well, you were speaking a moment ago about a lack of moral leverage. And fortunately, these talks actually don't depend on George Bush's moral leverage. They really do depend on both the Israelis and the Palestinians, who have the biggest stake in a negotiated peace. And they also depend on the many representatives of other countries who've showed up. And we are encouraged by that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we don't have a naive hope. We know this will not be a quick fix, but we are encouraged by the beginning. And the fact that Syria and Saudi Arabia have shown up to participate is encouraging in terms of the possibility of a real acceptance of a potential agreement.
Mm-hmm. And, Rabbi, one more question for you at this point. Do you see yourselves as a counterpoint to the hardline Zionists?
Not exactly. We have a diversity of opinion. We are people devoted to the safety and security and thriving of Israel. And we see ourselves as voicing the crucial and until now, or until a few years ago, not well represented American Jewish majority who have been in support, like there has been an Israeli majority for a long time,
mm-hmm.
to the support for a viable Palestinian state in which there can be a peace agreement and an end to the unnecessary bloodshed.
Mm-hmm. Phyllis Bennis, what's your take? What are your aspirations? What are your expectations, if any?
Well, I think this is going to be a very successful conference. And the reason I say that is because I think that the goals of the conference have nothing to do with peace and justice in Israel or Palestine. I think the goals of this conference are two. One is to shore up Arab government support for the U.S. war in Iraq and U.S. escalations against Iran, support that has been in relatively short supply recently because it's become virtually impossible for most Arab regimes to get away with supporting U.S. policies that are so unpopular in their own countries. This gives them essentially a bone to throw to their people, saying, you see, the U.S. isn't so bad. The U.S. is trying to give the Palestinians a state. Reason number two is that Condoleezza Rice needs a new legacy. Right now, her legacy is not that of the most powerful African-American woman political leader in this country, although she is that. Her legacy around the world is being the person who stood up before the United Nations at the time of Israeli bombardment of Lebanon and said, we don't want a ceasefire yet.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to change that, and this is going to give her the photo op to do it. So for those two reasons, I think there's going to be quite a bit of success. I wish I had the even optimism that the rabbi's perspective requires to think that this is the beginning of a process. I've seen too many of these. I was in Madrid when that conference was launched. I didn't think it was going to work then, and it didn't. We didn't think Oslo, many of us didn't think Oslo was going to work, and it didn't. All that worked was that settlement construction continued. The wall continued to be built. The occupation was consolidated.
Right.
Palestinian refugees still did not have the right to go home. Violence exploded every once in a while as a result of all those policies against Israeli civilians as well as against the Israeli military occupation itself. And there's no indication that this conference is going to do anything to change any of those terrible realities.
And Phyllis Bennis, the other elements here, from my point of view, are that we have two very weak leaders. I mean, Olmert barely got out of Israel without delaying his latest indictment.
Right. There's three indictments pending. They had to get a court to agree that it was in the national interest of the country to hold them back so he could go to this thing.
Right. So
his popular opinion makes George Bush look like the most popular president in history. His are in the low single digits.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Sharon started the Kadima Party, and Olmert really was, you know, not in a position to take the place that Sharon, you know, was a big, larger-than-life, powerful figure. Even if you didn't like him or care for his policies, he was a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely right, and he's in, ironically, very similar position to that of Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president,
mm-hmm.
who also is very weak politically, also came in as the not quite enough replacement for a larger-than-life predecessor, in this case, mm-hmm. of course, Yasser Arafat.
Right.
And like Arafat, Mahmoud Abbas has two hats. He is both the president of the Palestinian Authority, but he's also the chairman of the PLO. Officially, according to international law, UN decisions, etc., only the PLO is authorized by the Palestinians to negotiate. The Palestinian Authority is not. It's understood that that only can speak for the Palestinians who live under Israeli occupation in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, and now, of course, it's limited only to those in the West Bank, and not even all of them. But the other sectors of the Palestinian national polity, if you will, the refugees and the Palestinians who make up 20% of the Israeli population, are not represented. And we have seen over and over again, the PLO was never mentioned. It was consistently a reference to President Abbas, meaning president of the Palestinian Authority, not Chairman Abbas, which would have implied his role with the PLO. So there's a serious challenge of legitimacy for Mahmoud Abbas as well.
And one further question on that line. He also is the at least titular leader of the Fatah movement. Is that fully aligned with the PLO, or are those separate entities?
They're separate entities. Fatah is historically and today, although the PLO itself is in shambles, but to the degree that it still exists as a framework, Fatah has always been the largest component organization. But the PLO has always been a coalition of about 8 to 10 organizations, Fatah by overwhelmingly the largest. One of the challenges facing the Palestinians as they struggle to regain some level of political unity, particularly in the occupied territories, where the divide between Fatah and Hamas has deteriorated into terrible violence at one point and is now a deepening divide. One of the problems is that Hamas has never been a member organization of the PLO. There were moves afoot last year to change that, to make the Hamas a member of the PLO. That didn't happen yet, and it among other things, undermines the credibility of the PLO by not including Hamas, and it undermines Hamas's credibility by not being a member of the PLO. So nobody gains by it. It makes the PLO less representative than it would be. But it's a historic problem that the PLO was always a secular nationalist coalition made up of left, right, and center secular nationalist parties. It never had an Islamist party. But in the last 15 years or so, we have seen the rise of Islamism in general across the region, surpassing in popular support in many ways secular nationalism of all sorts. So it's one of those things that as history changes, it's going to have to change organizationally.
That's Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. We're also talking with Rabbi Julie Sachs Toller. If you have a question about the peace talks that are just getting underway today in Annapolis, Maryland, feel free to give us a call. We'll take some calls in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we got to take a break here in a minute, but I wanted to mention that last night on the Public Television News Hour, I saw their story about this conference as it gets underway. And Gwen Ifill was anchoring that, and she read a script that was narrowly correct. What she said was that Hamas was not invited to these talks and that they took control of the Gaza Strip about a year and a half ago. As I said, those are narrowly correct. What she failed to mention was that Hamas won the elections that were promoted and prompted and pushed by the United States and Israel just, what, 2.5 years ago, Phyllis?
It was more recent than that, actually, Peter. It was in January of 2006 that
there
those elections were held.
Yeah.
And as you say, these were not elections that the Palestinians at that point wanted to hold. They said, we're not ready for this. The U.S., backed by Israel, insisted. They said, you're going to have democracy whether you like it or not. What resulted was an election that the European Union and the Carter Center, as well as President Carter himself, designated as not only free and fair, but as the most free and fair of any in the Arab world. I have some trouble with that notion because I don't think you can really have a free and fair election under conditions of military occupation.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, everybody pretty much agreed that it was a good indication of what Palestinians wanted. And what they wanted was a significant majority, not overwhelming, but a significant majority for Hamas. Now, we know that the reasons for that were complicated. It was less about support for Hamas than it was opposition to the combination of failure and corruption.
Corruption's a very important issue, right? That's
exactly
part of the Arafat legacy. Let me ask the rabbi for a comment here. Go ahead.
Well, let me say first that, Phyllis, you absolutely may be right about the motives for this conference and the motives of President Bush and Secretary Rice. This late in the administration to call this conference doesn't give us reason to think that their motives are all about peace between Israel and the Palestinians. But there have been 8 former U.S. State Department and Pentagon officials who've recently suggested Hamas be invited to the second peace conference, to a second step, and it's not impossible that there may be a bringing together of the parties who really should be at the table. So, I guess I'll say that we are all skeptical. We've been around for witnessing failed peace talks,
mm-hmm.
many of us for a long time.
Yeah.
And we've been around for watching the political maneuvering of our current administration. But at this point, we ask ourselves what we can do. And one thing we can do is to raise our voice to say what we think the talks should be about.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make
Absolutely.
Sure that the American Jewish community doesn't get used, as we often have been used, to simply be a blanket to voice with that is misunderstood when we mm-hmm. say we're pro-Israel, that for many of us, we have relationships with Israelis and with Palestinians, many of us.
Right.
And we want to see a negotiated solution. Well, we know that a military resolution is an impossibility. It's
mm-hmm.
something that will never happen.
Let me stop you there because I'm late for a break here. That's Rabbi Julie Sachs-Toller. Also with us, Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll take a call or two in the next segment. 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Talking about the Israeli-Palestinian peace meeting that got underway in Annapolis, Maryland at the U.S. Naval Academy today. Our guests are Rabbi Julie Sachs Toller with the Jewish Alliance for Peace and Justice and Phyllis Bennis, a senior fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. We're joined by Matt from Sacramento. Go ahead, Matt. You're right on the air.
Well, yeah, I appreciate this show because to me, looking at it from a different perspective, what's the real difference here between us coming to America and taking the Indians' land and putting them on a reservation and the world basically putting the Jewish people in there and pushing the Israeli Palestinians onto a reservation and then asking them to be happy with the two-state solution?
Well, all right. Phyllis, you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good analogy, and I appreciate it when that analogy is used about the United States, because it does bring it home in a very profound way.
That's like the Trail of Tears, isn't it?
Sorry?
Like the Trail of Tears, isn't it?
Well, it's partly that. There's two differences, I think. One is 300 years changes things. If this was the year 1650, we might say that the solution, the only just solution for Native people's rights in this country would be for all the Europeans to get back on a ship and go home to Europe.
Right, and I'm not proposing that.
I understand that. I'm just saying that's one of the things that happens. In the context of Israel, what you had was Zionist settlement that rather quickly dwarfed the existing Jewish community that had been in Palestine forever and ever, but had been very well integrated into the community, was, you know, it had not generated massive opposition. But when massive settlement began at the turn of the century with the creation of political Zionism, you did begin to have this struggle over the question of who owned the land. And it was very much a situation where people came for all different reasons, but then suddenly it became popular and massively supported in the Jewish community, which had not happened earlier, at the time of the Holocaust. Why? Because of U.S. anti-Semitism and U.S. anti-communism, both of which became the basis for keeping Jews who were survivors and refugees from the Holocaust out of the U.S.
Well, the English were part of that.
Rabbi Sachs-Toller,
well,
what do you think about the reservation metaphor here?
Well, there are parallels. There are true parallels, and in the Middle East or in Palestine, the historical land of Palestine, where as Phyllis just said, there was a Jewish presence before before modern Zionism. There was a long Jewish presence, but we often, I think, feel that we need to take a side which says that either Jews or Palestinians belong on that land. And in fact, Jews and Palestinians there in Israel and Palestine have taken the brunt of many different situations, including the Holocaust, but not only. And now what we need is a real solution for the people of that large, small, but what I mean is the larger area, not only Israel, but the land that should become a Palestinian state.
Well, see, that's exactly right. It has to go for both people, and I don't think division is going to solve your problem.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much. Let's jump to Steve and Salinas for a quick comment. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, just a quick question. Before Clinton left office, Israel had accepted 100% of his peace plan, and Arafat about 95%. Could that be a starting point? Go back to that.
All right, Phyllis, you first.
Well, I don't think that, as I mentioned earlier, I don't think that anybody in the U.S. at this point is prepared to embrace any actual plan. I don't think that was the goal of these meetings, and I don't think it's likely to happen. There were serious problems with the Clinton plan. It could be a starting point, but it, among other things, accepted the permanent reality of massive settlement blocks. It accepted the complete rejection of the right of return. There were massive problems with it. There were reasons that Arafat rejected it that were not because of his rejectionism, but because the plan didn't include fundamentals of what was required by international law.
Rabbi Sachs-Toller, about 20 seconds, please.
That's right. And fortunately, it's not, well, fortunately, unfortunately, some of us would very much like to weigh in on the details of what agreement should come out. But now what we have to do is a chance to support the parties being at the table and the fact that everything is actually open to at least being brought up.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for a great conversation today. I think we have similar aspirations, and it's a matter of whether these parties can find common ground under very difficult circumstances. Thanks to Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies and Rabbi Julie Sachs-Toller with the Jewish Alliance for Peace and Justice. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break and return, talk about Google's plan to use renewable energy to power its internet servers.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
At the Mideast Peace Conference,
nice words promising steps toward peace. I'm Dan Revive in Annapolis.
A new report on identity theft and the toll it takes on victims.
Frustration, emotional problems, harassment.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A good beginning in Annapolis. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has spent the day covering the international meeting intended to jumpstart Israeli-Palestinian peace talks.
U.S. officials say the conference here at the U.S. Naval Academy went better than expected, with 16 Arab countries showing they want peace, a slap at Iran and other radicals. President Bush read a declaration agreed to at the last minute by Israel's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas.
We agree to immediately launch good faith bilateral negotiations in order to conclude a peace treaty.
Stating they'll make every effort to succeed by the end of next year, Palestinians here complained they felt pressured by the U.S. to drop demands for a negotiating timetable. Olmert, through a translator, called Abbas his friend and...
Together we shall start. Together we shall arrive.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Annapolis, Maryland.
Tomorrow, the president planned to have separate meetings with Olmert and Abbas, but now the White House says they'll all meet together. In an interview with the Associated Press today, Mr. Bush warned that failure could mean a generation of Palestinians lost to radicals and extremists, but he said it is worth it to try. Now this.
Happy Honda Day!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck, I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday only, from 4 p.m. to close, get 75% off the Craftsman Cordless Impact Screwdriver, just $9.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for future exclusive offers just for you. That's Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/26/07 through 11/27/07.
Every year, millions of us are victims of credit card fraud and identity theft. The government is out with a new damage assessment. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Most Americans don't lose thousands to identity thieves.
The out-of-pocket and other costs are fairly low.
But when you get beyond the credit card thieves to those who actually steal your identity to set up accounts or take out loans, then you're talking about major headaches.
People do report that they've had banking problems, credit problems, loans rejected, that kind of thing.
Joanna Crane at the Federal Trade Commission is trying to clear your name and credit. Could take months. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
The American Red Cross is now on its fifth leader in 6 years. The latest turmoil at the congressionally chartered charity led to the abrupt resignation of Mark Everson, who was president for only 6 months. The Red Cross says he engaged in a personal relationship with a woman on his staff, and the situation reflected poor judgment on Everson's part. He's 53, married with two children. Red Cross General Counsel Mary Elcano has taken over as interim president and CEO. Another development of the controversy over two drugs widely prescribed to treat the flu, CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
An advisory panel to the Food and Drug Administration says warning labels on Tamiflu and Relenza should be stronger. Medical experts are reviewing cases in which people taking those drugs experienced hallucinations, delirium, and other abnormal behavior. In the case of Tamiflu, some cases of erratic behavior included jumping from buildings and death. The panel says current labels do not address such safety issues. The FDA typically follows the advice of its expert panels.
Home prices, according to Standard & Poor's, dropped 4.5% in the third quarter compared with the same period last year.
We have a lot of inventory out there now, and prices aren't going to be going anywhere for a while.
Walter Maloney of the National Association of Realtors.
In historic terms, it's not that bad. The problem in the market today is the excess inventory, and it's going to take some time to work that off, and the result of that is going to be flat prices.
Some experts say flat prices is a rosy scenario. They don't expect real estate to rebound until sometime in 2009. Big drop in oil prices today, down more than $3 to $94.42 a barrel.
Energy markets are taking their cue from a lot of the worries about the overall economy and demand forecasts going forward.
Analyst John Kilduff says demand is projected to fall off. Another factor in the market, increased production by OPEC. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday only, from 4 p.m. to close, get 75% off the Craftsman Cordless Impact Screwdriver, just $9.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for future exclusive offers just for you. That's Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/26/07 through 11/27/07.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, Vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic, so why not drink organic? Visit their website at ecowine.com or call toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
As we go along,
tell Veronique you heard it from Peter B. Later this hour, we'll talk about a couple of initiatives, ballot measures like Prop 93 that would extend term limits, and the Republican-engineered change to the Electoral College assignment of votes from California in the presidential race. Dan Weintraub of the Sacramento Bee will join us about a half hour from now. Up first, though, Dr. Larry Brilliant joins us from the Google Foundation and Google.org. Dr. Brilliant, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I want to commend you for your prior work with Wavy Gravy and the SAVA Foundation.
Well, thank you. I still work with Wavy all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, my hero.
He's an amazing guy, isn't he?
He's amazing.
He's the clown who gets things done.
That's right.
And has Wavy...
friends for 30 years.
Wow. And has he been an inspiration to you in your work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've known Wavy for 30 years. I've never heard him say an unkind thing about anyone, ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've sat behind him at some concerts, and he always has the best weed. I know that. Now, how long have you been over at Google, Dr. Brilliant?
A year and a half.
Uh-huh. And what has your mission to date been? Because this, of course, is a company that many people think is very sexy, it's cutting edge, and you've got a stock price that just refuses to go down.
Well, I don't have anything to do with the stock price.
No, I know that.
When Larry Page and Sergey Brin started Google, they were, you know, they're kids to me. They're young men who were prescient. They are like moral prodigies. They saw that Google would be very successful, and before it became very successful and became a public company, they decided to put aside some stock to be used only for socially good purposes, only for purposes of reducing poverty and fighting against climate change and trying to stop epidemic diseases and other illnesses of poor people. And that turned out to be 3 million shares of stock, which is now worth a lot of money.
Well, it's $600 a share. That's what, about billions of dollars.
It's almost $2 billion. And so that became Google.org. And the mission of Google.org is to use that money and to use the other resources of Google to try to do a small little bit to try to make the world a better place in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working for the last year and a half to sift through hundreds, even thousands of ideas on what we should do. This is a startup, this Google.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have a lot of stock, but it had never done anything. It was just getting started. And people inside of Google, people in the newspaper, read the newspapers, readers, and all the other foundation executives and people in the field in Africa and India sent in ideas on what they thought we should work on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we felt was so critical was trying to find a way to make electricity that was cheaper from renewable energy than from coal, because coal and burning coal is such a tremendous contributor to global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other things that we do and we still will do in global health and in poverty mitigation, those problems get worse if that coal gets burned. And the best way you can, it's funny, but the best way you can fight against malaria and poverty is to not burn that coal. It sounds like quite a stretch, but you know, I lived in India for 10 years, and every lump of coal is going to be burned unless we find a way to produce power, electricity, at prices cheaper from renewables than from coal.
Mm-hmm.
So this initiative that you heard about today arose from that process. And we've been working to try to figure out, well, does that mean that we should be investing in companies that are creating renewables? Does it mean we should be working on government policy? Does it mean we should be trying to get epidemiologists to figure out what the true costs of coal are in terms of the health effects on miners and poor people?
How about a Google wind farm there in Alviso at the south end of San Francisco Bay?
Well, that's not, I mean, the result for us is we have to do everything, all mm-hmm. these things. And one of them certainly is producing our own electricity from wind or solar thermal or geothermal. And that's really what we announced today, is that we've started a group inside of Google, a division of Google, if you will, that's only going to work on energy solutions to the climate problem.
We're talking with Dr. Larry Brilliant here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's at Google.org, the Google Foundation. And as you've just heard, Google's announced a major initiative today to try to convert from coal-generated and nuclear-generated and natural gas-generated electricity into renewable sources. And Dr. Brilliant, give us a quick sketch of the carbon footprint, not just of Google, but of the Internet. Because most people think, well, it's so clean and benign, there are no bricks and mortar, and you do it from home. A lot of it is wireless, but the very source of energy that powers the Internet, our electricity generation, has a huge carbon footprint. And what portion of that is related to the Internet?
Well, it's not a very large part of the total world carbon footprint by any means, but it's significant, and it's growing. And, we're certainly aware at Google that we want to be part of the solution. We don't want to be part of the problem. And so part of the motivation for doing this initiative was to get ahead of the problem that our growth, and as you quite correctly said, our dependence on electricity causes. So you're absolutely right. If we don't work now so we create renewable sources of electricity will become part of the problem. And that's true for every company in America that's growing in the developed world. And, you know, I had a lot of people asking me earlier, why is Google doing this? I think it's the wrong question. I think the better question is, why isn't everybody else doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did look for some information about this initiative at Yahoo News, and they're not covering it today, Dr. Brilliant.
They're not.
But CNET has a story up, and it says that your overarching goal is to produce a gigawatt of electricity from renewable sources, and that's roughly enough to power the city of San Francisco.
It's more than that.
You want to do that faster than the current pace of green technology development.
Well, not just faster. We want to do it at a price less than coal. Just creating renewable energy is a noble and wonderful thing, and there's lots of great people and venture capitalists and startup companies doing it, and we should just get down on our hands and knees and applaud them for doing it. But it doesn't solve the problem unless it's a viable alternative to coal-produced electricity. Because what you could have is a very successful investment that creates wind farms or creates solar energy, but if there's just as much coal being burned, you haven't solved the primary problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to make it unnecessary to use coal. That's really, I think, the driving realization that we've come to.
So how does all this work, Dr. Brilliant? Because there's a company called PG&E that thinks it has a monopoly on generation and distribution of electricity, at least in Silicon Valley. How do you interface with their grid and bring renewables in at a cost that, say, doesn't include a markup by a utility?
Oh, easily. I mean, PG&E is actually a buyer for any renewable energy that is produced, and they're an eager buyer because AB 32... this landmark legislation passed by California and making California a leader in the clean and green movement requires PG&E and every other utility to buy any renewable energy that's produced at a price which is attractive to venture capitalists to start companies. In fact, 6 months ago, we did a small demo which is called Recharge It, and you can look at it at rechargeit.org, where we retrofitted some Prius hybrids and Ford Escape hybrids, and we made them into plug-in hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And in we actually set one up. We brought in the guys from PG&E, and we showed how you could charge the car from PG&E or from solar panels, and then we actually sold the electricity back to PG&E, just as you say, interfacing with the grid.
Mm-hmm.
We sold electricity that was generated by a solar panel but stored in a plug-in hybrid and then interfaced to the PG&E grid. This kind of distributed energy generation is the future.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about wind and you talk about solar and you talk about geothermal, you're talking about energy being produced away from the conventional coal-fired electrical plant. In California, by the way, we have a lot of natural gas and hydro.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of the country, you know, it's predominantly coal.
And Dr. Larry Brilliant, one of the things that I see is that there's some people out there who are purists. And I understand that, and I'm not being critical of them for it. But sometimes it appears that they would reject something because it's not perfect. And, for example, I'm a big fan of the plug-in hybrids. But people correctly point out, well, you're getting the electricity for that electric car from the grid. And so how do you approach this on a step-by-step basis? Because we can't all stop flying on jet airplanes. We can't all just unplug until we're at a full renewable stage.
Well, the first thing is you don't have to get that electricity from the grid. We've installed 1.6 megawatts of solar panels at Google, and we've got solar panels over all the garages and the carports, and we have plugs. So you pull in your plug-in hybrid, and you plug it in right there, and you're charging up from old Sol. You're not charging mm-hmm. up from the grid. So I don't think you need to make it, you know, an either-or situation.
Well, I don't quite have your resources.
Well, it's not that expensive, by the way, to get a solar garage.
Well, and in Berkeley, there's a whole new scheme there.
I was just going to say that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Congratulations to the mayor of Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Dr. Larry Brilliant from Google.org. That's the Google Foundation. They've announced this initiative to convert to renewable energy sources, and they're real serious about it. You got a question or a comment? Call me now, toll free. Don't Google it. Call me, all right? 888-5-PETER-B. It's 1-888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is that time once again to check out traffic. And I'll be honest with you folks, not a lot going on, but I can tell you that we do have no major stalls or accidents to tell you about on Highway 17, so that's certainly some good news. Getting word of one little problem in Gilroy, and get ready for this, it's rather riveting. It's Highway 25 at 101. It is a tire, yes, a tire in the lanes. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. And we can take a little bit of a look at some slow traffic. It looks like eastbound 129, a little bit slow and go between Watsonville and Aromas. Eastbound 25, you may encounter pockets of slow traffic from Gilroy into Hollister. And it appears that things are looking pretty good for the most part, southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. A support brought to you by Cragen Auto Parts. Looking for low prices on motor oil? Go to Cragen.
We can continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're taking the show on the road this Friday, November 30th. We'll be live at the Eureka Theater in beautiful Eureka, California. If you're in Humboldt, I demand that you show up. It's a command performance. We'll be live 3 to 6, and then Roy Zimmerman takes the stage to perform his political satire tunes. That'll be in the early evening at the Eureka Theater. It's a $10 ticket, half price for vets, so hope to see you there this Friday, November 30th, at the Eureka Theater, starting at 3 p.m. We continue now with Dr. Larry Brilliant, a medical doctor, and he's also got a master's in public health. He helped found the SAVA Foundation with Wavy Gravy. They have brought eyesight to people in many parts of the world. He's now at Google.org, which includes the Google Foundation, and they've made a major announcement today about a commitment to renewable energy sources. And Dr. Brilliant, when I first heard about this, frankly, I thought, oh, it's another greenwashing effort. We've seen, for example, every time I turn on the public television news hour, we're subjected to a greenwashing commercial from Chevron, which is trying to tell us that they're really serious about renewable sources. Frankly, from them, I find that not very credible. There's also a Pacific Gas and Electric commercial running right now about how they've helped Silicon Valley companies slim down the energy demands of their servers and reduce the number of servers that they're running. I'm a little skeptical about that one, too. But in this case,
Peter, we don't have that much to wash.
Well, you seem to be the real deal here because you're putting real money into companies that are developing renewable technologies. You've invested in it on your own campus and for the benefit of your employees, and you're prepared to do more. What are the next steps, and who would you like to partner with in this initiative?
Well, I think I would love to come back on your show, if you will invite me back, in 2 months and tell you all the stuff that we've done and carry on this conversation, because you've really got you've got a unique and a wonderful attitude. I kind of like the way you go at this.
Okay. Well, it's a date. Two months from today.
I've got to go run off and do something that's really bad, which is to get in an airplane.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going?
And that's another conversation.
Where do you get to go?
I have to go visit my wife, who has gone ahead of me to Egypt. So if I don't catch this plane, mm-hmm. they'll move the pyramids or something, won't they?
How soon do you need to leave? I don't want to detain you. I
should leave now, unfortunately. I didn't know I was going to go on to that break. So.
Okay. Well, how about if you talk to Dave in Monterey County, and then we'll let you go, because he's dying
sure,
to talk
happy
to you.
Sure, happy
Dave,
to.
Dave, go right ahead with Dr. Brilliant.
Oh.
Hi, Dave.
How are you? Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I've always had a kind of a look in my mind about combining solar power with hydroelectric power. And you're speaking of Egypt, and I was thinking it with the sandstone the way it was. If you had a lot of solar panels, you could pump water out of the Nile up into reservoirs and then drop the water down and create, you know, use generators to make electricity.
So solar to pump it up and hydro to
yeah,
be generated
it down
on
and
the
you
way
generate
down.
It with hydroelectric generators, dropping
I've
the water down.
Seen, take away the Nile just, and the pyramids. Know, I've actually seen some plans like that.
Hold on, Dave. Go ahead, Dr. Brilliant.
Dave, I mean, take away the Nile and the pyramids. I've actually seen some plans like that. I think, there's a lot. It has a lot going for it. And if you're interested in pursuing it more on our website, on the Google
All
website,
right.
And on the press release, we actually have an email address that you can write to with your ideas, and it's
great.
You know, it's not a crazy idea at all.
I have a micro situation like that. I have a reservoir, and I could put a reservoir above it. And I'm just wondering if I get enough solar panels pumping water back and forth, I could have electricity at nighttime without batteries.
I think it's a cool idea, and I think you'd have a lot of people coming to look at it as a demo, and you'd become a pretty popular guy pretty soon.
All right, Dave, great idea. Let me know when you got it in action, okay? And we'll come down and do the show live from there.
Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Brilliant. It's great to make your acquaintance.
I really appreciate it.
Have a great,
I look forward to talking to you again.
Have a great trip to Egypt,
okay.
And we'll talk to you about 2 months from today. We'll set it
thank
up.
Thank you.
Looking
Bye-bye.
Forward to that. And that's a very interesting guy, Dr. Larry Brilliant. He's at Google.org, which includes the Google Foundation. And as we've said, when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, it's some nice PR, some nice greenwashing. But they're really following through. And I encourage you to take a look at this. Go to the website he mentioned, rechargeit.org, which is about plug-in hybrids. And we will follow up in 2 months and talk to Larry Brilliant about the progress they're making at Google moving toward renewable energy sources for the Internet. We're going to take a break and return with Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee. We're going to talk about a couple of ballot measures that we'll be facing. We know about one for sure, the other's being qualified right now. One for term limits, the other to redivide California's electoral votes. Dan Weintraub from the Bee joins us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Oh, those expectations. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Officials from more than 40 nations are converging on Annapolis for a summit conference that the president hopes will lead to peace between Israel and Palestine.
Two democratic states living side by side in peace and security.
But everybody else associated with the summit has been busy lowering expectations.
No one is expecting this one-day conference to yield dramatic results.
No, the best we can hope for is that by meeting today, the negotiators will come up with an agreement to meet some more. You know what's interesting about all this expectation lowering? It assumes that we have expectations to begin with. I think we're sick of this story. I think most Americans are trying to figure out why it matters anymore. Making peace between Israel and its neighbors used to be important because we figured that without peace, why, there could be a dangerous war in the Middle East. Well, we managed to start that all on our own, but it's always good to keep talking. Not everybody thinks it'll fail. Here's an encouraging soundbite from a Palestinian in East Jerusalem.
This is very important for the children of the Israelis and the children of the Palestinians and for both people to have a just peace and respect peace in this region.
So maybe there is a point. Maybe if we can solve this and get credit for it, we'll finally win the hearts and minds we need for what it is we all seek. The peace and stability that will allow us to maintain large bases in Iraq in perpetuity and have them love us for it. I hear that it'll all be paid for with oil money someday. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. My lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we're going to talk with Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee in this segment and then open up the phone lines for the rest of the program. We call it the Free Speech Zone, so you're welcome to join us now or in a few minutes with your comments today. Daniel Weintraub, welcome back to our program.
Glad to be here, Peter.
How you doing today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm all right. I just, during the day-long commercial break there, I jumped into the sacbee.com website, and I clicked, I'm trying to find your blog, and I've got Dan Walters and...
You have to go through the Capital Alert
button?
Gateway.
Oh.
That's our special site for coverage of the state capital and politics.
Okay, so walk me through this. I'm at Politics.
You really want to do this on the air? Huh?
Sure, I want people to know how to find you. Okay,
well, start with capitalalert.com.
Okay.
Get you there.
Well, I just actually found the Capital Alert button.
Work.
Okay, and now what's my registration, and I can never remember how I registered at these newspaper websites. So I'll just know that it's there, and I'll take a look at it later.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk with you about two ballot measures, one that has qualified and one that's in circulation right now. First up, Prop 93 would modify term limits and essentially allow Fabian Nunez, the head of the Assembly, and Don Parada, the head of the State Senate, to extend their lease in Sacramento.
Well, and it would reduce the total amount of time that a legislator can serve from 14 to 12 years, while at the same time allowing them to serve at all in either the Assembly or the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So it would give them longer in one House than they get now, but less overall if they were able to maximize the time that they're allowed under current law.
Okay, gotcha. Now, I'm one of those people who thinks that term limits are great for somebody else. I used to use the example that I wanted term limits for Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond, but not for my Senator Boxer. And, of course, we don't have term limits for senators. But my point is that people generally want to impose term limits on somebody else's elected official. And for that very reason, I believe that we have the right to impose term limits every election if we want to.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. That's why we have elections, so that you can decide who you want to represent you, whether they've been in office for 2 years or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my preference, all things considered. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen anytime soon, even though term limits were narrowly approved originally in 1990. Voters, once they got them, sort of liked the concept, even if they didn't vote for them originally. So they're very, very difficult to undo.
Yeah. And the impact of it is mixed, because on the one hand, you don't have people who go to Sacramento and never, ever, ever leave. They've at least got to move up the food chain into the constitutional offices once they get termed out of the legislature. And the downside of that is that staff and lobbyists now hold the institutional memory and understand the arcane mechanics of legislation and governance. And when the new folks come in, the fresh faces due to term limits, they've got at least a two-year learning curve before they really know how things work and who they can trust and who they can't. And this is one of the factors that, in my view, mitigates against term limits, because you do end up having amateurs or people who really don't have the depth of experience of, say, my old buddy John Vasconcellos, who was there for 34 years.
Yeah, well, even John got a little inside the beltway itis in his later years.
Oh, yeah, he was napping a lot. I woke him up a few times.
And not always sensitive to the concerns of constituents and others who wandered through the building.
Right.
But I agree with you. It's been a mixed bag. I mean, one of the things it did in combination with the redistricting that happened in the 1990s was really open up the Capitol to many more women and minorities, folks from local government, because the people that were there before term limits were so entrenched that you had one or two members moving on every year. Now, you know, a third of the place is transformed every election. So that you definitely get a lot of fresh faces and new blood every election.
Well, but the only
then they're ushered out.
But because of gerrymandering, we do have a situation where the only contested races are the primaries for open seats in the state Senate and the Assembly.
Yes, that's exactly true. And those open seats are most often or really only created either directly by term limits or people moving on and when they see their term limit coming and they jump at another opportunity. So
mm-hmm.
if you were to change term limits, as 93 suggests, and allow people to serve 12 years in one house, you would not only have no competition in the general election, you'd have much fewer open seats mm-hmm. in the primaries and less competition there, too. You'd really have a little bit more of a stagnant body again.
Is there a Parada exclusion in there? Because he served in the Assembly before he moved up to the state Senate.
Yeah, the measure has what they're calling a transition provision, which
uh-huh.
allows any member to serve that 12 years in the house they're now serving in.
I see.
So, Parada and a few others would get a little bit of an extension.
Mm-hmm. Now, Steve Poizner, who is the only Republican constitutional officer other than the governor, he's the insurance commissioner, and I actually voted for him because I couldn't imagine Cruz Bustamante as an insurance commissioner. And he has ponied up $1.5 million to support the opposition to Prop 93. And you wrote a column about this. What's your take on Poizner's move? What's driving it, and will it reward him?
I think it's a couple things. One, he's a zillionaire. He's got money to burn, and he's looking to mend his fences with the more conservative wing of the Republican Party, which is suspicious of term limits and would appreciate his activism on this issue. The second thing is that he actually does believe in independent redistricting, having an independent commission do that job. He put a lot of money into Prop 77 in 2005, and the legislative leaders at that time promised that they would put their own independent commission proposal on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They never fulfilled that promise, and now Poizner is effectively saying, you reap what you sow. You promised to do redistricting. It was supposed to be in a package of reforms along with term limits. You did only term limits, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. But
yeah.
He's stepping up almost in a personal way to repay them for their favor of opposing the initiative that he supported in 05.
And Dan Weintraub, I opposed the original term limits measure. I have supported the efforts to relax term limits in the interim. And I'm probably not going to vote for this one because I don't feel that the current leadership has shown us that they've earned an extension on their lease. And the disclosures about Nunez and his spending of political funds, it's like he's trying to keep up with the Schwarzeneggers.
Well, if you're not going to vote for it, it's going to be a tough sell, Peter, because I think they're counting on people like you to support this thing. The interesting thing is the polling so far shows that people who support term limits are backing this thing, and that appears to be because of the reduction of years from 14 to 12. Once the campaign with Poizner's money makes it clear that it's actually an extension for people who would only serve in one house, it may end up losing that support.
Mm-hmm. Now, this ties in with the Republican-sponsored ballot measure that is circulating for signatures right now. We thought it was dead. It appeared to be playing dead, like a possum, a couple of months ago. And Paul Singer has been identified as one of the main funders of this effort. And it's quite unusual. There are only two states that don't allocate their electoral college votes for president based on a winner-take-all system. And this is an unusual move very late in the process here to change the rules for next year's presidential race here in California. And essentially, it would divide up the Electoral College votes based on which presidential candidates win in congressional districts. And as John Diaz, the editorial page editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, pointed out on this program a month or so ago, this is, you know, built on an extremely wobbly foundation. We have these very safe districts that are guaranteed, virtually guaranteed by computer mapping, to deliver either Republican or Democratic votes. And so this will not produce more competition. It won't produce more attention for California by presidential candidates who just come here to raid the ATM. And I think that it is a measure that is purely political. What's your take on it, Dan?
Well, it's obviously political. The intent is to divide California's electoral votes essentially along the lines of the popular vote. It won't be exactly because of what you mentioned about the districts, but I think it'll be fairly close to that. And so what you'd have instead of, 55 votes all going to one candidate, presumably the Democrat,
mm-hmm.
you'd probably have them divided, 30 to 25 or 32 to 23.
Yeah.
So the Republicans, if they are on the losing end of the statewide vote, would still get a very large chunk of the electoral votes, and if the next election is as close as the last two, that could be enough to put them over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a dirty trick or a sneaky maneuver or slimy or anything. I mean, they're
really, I do.
I don't think there's nothing illegitimate about dividing a state's votes along either popular vote or congressional. As you mentioned, Maine and I think it's Nebraska already do it. So if California's voters decide to do that, they're welcome to do it. That's just, you know, it's one party trying to change the rules to improve their position, but I don't know that that's sneaky. Everybody, when they go to the polls, are going to presumably know what the implications are. And I would add that if Mr. Giuliani turns out to be the Republican nominee, he very well could be competitive in California. And the ultimate irony would be if they changed the rules and Giuliani actually won California, he would end up forfeiting half his votes, and it could cost him the White House. So you never know. The rule of unintended consequences has a way of rearing its head.
Well, I hear you on that, Dan. I do think, though, that this is not a good government effort. It is purely politics, and I regard it as sneaky because it is changing the rules not necessarily in the middle of the game, but pretty close to the start of the game. And since this fellow Singer appears to be pretty closely linked to Giuliani, then I do view it as a very partisan effort. And at minimum, it's going to require Democrats to spend a lot of money to defeat it.
Yeah, well, that's a strange thing because Giuliani is the only Republican candidate who probably even has a prayer of dreaming about winning California. The rest would probably just write it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that, you know, to see what would Giuliani do if that thing actually passed and he were the nominee. Not sure it would end up really helping him here.
Now, there's an organization called the Courage Campaign that is opposing this measure. I see it as a Democratic-funded group, but I don't know the details behind it. They have a website where they show some videos of these signature gatherers, and in particular, I believe one is at the University of California at Santa Barbara. And it appears that they're misrepresenting what they're collecting signatures for. And they start off with something about cancer research, and then they say, oh, yeah, and sign these others, too. And in one exchange caught on video, they ask this signature gatherer what they're signing, and he doesn't give an honest answer about what this Electoral College ballot measure really does.
What does he say?
I'm trying to remember. I saw it last week. He has just a kind of a bland, general description of it as, something about the presidential race. But he doesn't define what it actually does. And in the video, you see him just trying to get people to sign it without actually reading the details. Have you heard reports of any chicanery in the signature gathering process?
Well, I heard the reports of that particular incident. I haven't seen any others. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's pretty common for signature gatherers across the board to give a pretty loose description, shorthand, or even a misleading description of what they're offering. Anybody who signs a petition should at least read the short summary that's put there by the Attorney General, which generally gives a pretty accurate rendition of what the thing is all about. So,
agreed.
No one should sign it based on what the signature gatherer says, since they're almost always getting paid by the signature, and it's in their interest to get as many as possible.
Mm-hmm. Dan Weintraub with us from the Sacramento Bee. He's got to escape here in just a moment, but let's take a quick call from Mike in Sacramento. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, you need to call back. The line you got didn't work. So sorry about that. Dan, we'll let you go because I know you need to run to cover something. So
okay.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate your edification.
Anytime.
All right. That's Daniel Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee, and he's got a blog there. You can find it, as we learned, under Capital Alert. Well, we're going to take a break here, and then the rest of this show is all your phone calls. So grab a line, and we can talk about term limits. We can talk about the Republican effort to change the rules on assigning Electoral College votes or anything else that's on your mind today. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hey, and visit our website at peterbcollins.com. We've got links there for zippy, new, easy-to-use podcasts. You can subscribe and get them delivered to your iPod or other MP3 player every doggone day.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
I'm Sheila Gale. Join me every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 as we talk about effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, depression, death of a loved one, addictions, illness, fear. There's nothing we won't talk about. My guests include life coaches, best-selling authors, and you. Call in, and together we'll find ways to live with less stress and more joy and peace. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, serving Monterey County since 1968. Sun Street Centers.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
And it's that time again in the 4 o'clock hour before it gets to 5. Logic there. Not a lot going on, to be honest with you. No major stalls or accidents. We're going to talk about the Santa Cruz Mountains, everything looking fine there. Although we are getting warned of a problem, we're going to report it in Los Gatos. Quito Road at Highway 9, two-vehicle crash. We have Sheriff's Department units on scene. A problem in a problem in SoCal. Yes, I love this one. SoCal Drive at Maplethorpe Lane, we have a first. We've never reported this before. Kids throwing a basketball across the lane. That's right. Kids throwing the hoop across the lane, the basketball that is. So you're advised to drive with caution. Watch out for those kids playing hoops in the lanes. All right. This report brought to you by College Football on Versus. Saturday in Versus, the California Golden Bears take on the Stanford Cardinal at 4 p.m. only in Versus.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. This is Roy Zimmerman. He's going to perform live in Eureka with us Friday.
Oh, baby, looking at you. There's something I'd like.
like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby.
That's right. If you're abstemiously abstaining, you can come to the show Friday night. There won't be any sex.
Refrain, baby.
So, KGOE listeners, I hope you're planning to notify friends and family and bring them by the van load to the Eureka Theater. We'll be broadcasting live this Friday afternoon, November 30th, at the usual program time, 3 to 6 p.m. And I'm looking forward to hearing from lots of folks in Humboldt County. And this is a benefit to help keep the Peter B. Collins Show greased and funded and on the air. So feel free to grab as many people as you can and come by. It's only $10 to drop in. And after the broadcast, Roy Zimmerman will take to the stage and wow us with his political satire tunes. I really enjoy his work, and I hope you do too. So I hope you'll come out and see us there. That is this Friday, November 30th, at the Eureka Theater. Now to Mike in Sacramento. We're going to try again. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Peter?
That's much better. I'm sorry. We had so much noise we couldn't hear you before.
Yeah, that was a bad connection. Peter, I'm hoping that you aren't surprised by the kind of responses that you're getting from a Republican like Dan about Republican initiatives. I think that probably he supports them both. In fact, I'm sure he does. And so I was a little astounded by that. But I wanted to point out that I think it's kind of ironic that he said that the right wing of the Republican Party right now is opposed to the proposition on term limits, since they are the ones that that funded the one the last time when they were trying to take out Willie Brown. And that was the Willie Brown initiative, really, that was all about.
Yeah, you're correct about that.
Right, and then also this power grab to try and get 20 California electoral votes, I am really hoping that if they're successful in doing that, that maybe somebody down at the Assembly will at least toy with the idea that maybe it's time to split this state in two and maybe have coastal California and have their electoral votes and then have inland California maybe start somewhere up around Rockland, you know, and go to the border, and then they could have their red state and we could have our blue state.
Mike, have you ever heard of a guy named Stan Statham?
Yes, I have. He was a Republican.
Yeah, and
he came up with the idea to break the state up
into three parts.
And I'm not so sure. Maybe that wasn't a good idea.
I think Stan is a very interesting character. You know, he was a television news anchor in Reading before he became a member of the state assembly. And he now chairs the California Broadcasters Association, and he's a good guy. I don't agree with him on certain issues because of his Republican leanings, but he and I had a great time, maybe it was 15 years ago, kicking around his idea to split California into three states. And if we did that, they'd be roughly, 10 million people in each of the divided sectors. And that would give us six senators. We'd end up with the same number of Congress members. But it would certainly enhance our standing and, give greater benefit to the public in California because, sure, Orange County would love to have a Republican senator. And they've got Dianne Feinstein.
Right. Thank you, Peter. Exactly. And I think it would more adequately represent the views of their constituents were they to do that. I, for one, am tired of being represented by Republicans that claim to be Democrats. You know, if I want to have a Republican, I'd rather just go vote for one rather than have somebody tell me that they're a Democrat and vote like a Republican,
yeah,
or somebody try and tell me that they're an independent and write articles down at the B all the time that clearly show that they're Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that maybe Dan is having a little buyer's remorse now with Arnold. He was one of Arnold's biggest cheerleaders, and I'm hoping that he's seeing now that maybe that isn't going to work either.
Well, I've talked to Dan many times over the years. I find him an interesting source. I have not picked up any heavy political bias from him, but I don't read him every day. And so,
I do. And he's like just right there with Dan Walters on most issues.
Well, I'm not a big Dan Walters fan. I've read enough of his columns to know that. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your comments today.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Peter.
Great to hear from you. Well, the next hour is entirely open for your phone calls, so I want you to grab a line. Let me know what's on your mind, what you'd like to talk about. We've discussed Hugo Chavez and his power grab in Venezuela. There's a big referendum that should consolidate his power coming up this Sunday. We talked about the No Expectations Peace Conference that Bush has convened in Annapolis, Maryland at the Naval Academy, and also Dr. Larry Brilliant was with us talking about Google's alternative energy initiatives. Any one of those grab your fancy, give me a call. Or if you want to introduce another topic like, hey, why do you support John Edwards for president? I'd like to know. That's all up for grabs in the next hour. By the way, Jason Leopold and Melanie Sloan had other conflicts, couldn't join us today, but they'll be back with us probably next week. And thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. With Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. After making a start at the Mideast Peace Conference, the Bush administration prods Israel and the Palestinians to keep at it.
Success is vital for securing a future of peace, freedom, and opportunity in the Middle East.
More from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Closing this one-day conference, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Israelis and Palestinians will negotiate over issues too hot to touch for over 7 years.
In their negotiations, the parties will address all of the core issues, including borders and refugees, security, water, settlements, and Jerusalem.
No clue as to how to compromise over Jerusalem, Rice said she and President Bush promise unwavering support for this new push for peace and creation of a nation called Palestine. Dan Revive, CBS News at the Naval Academy in Annapolis.
At the White House tomorrow, President Bush will meet separately with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Then they'll all meet together in a session that's been added to the schedule. Identity theft and credit card fraud. A new government report details just how pervasive it is. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick takes a look.
The Federal Trade Commission says more than 8 million adults have had their identity information stolen. That includes information on credit cards and checking accounts. Most thieves then use that information to buy or charge items less than $500. And in more than half the cases, the FTC says victims weren't liable for it. But many still faced headaches dealing with debt collectors and being denied new credit cards.
Washington Redskins coach Joe Gibbs on the death of star safety Sean Taylor.
I don't know how we'll deal with it. Except that we're going to all do it together. And I know we got a great, high-quality bunch of guys here. And so we'll move forward and get ready for this weekend.
CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobier has new details on circumstances of Taylor's death after intruders broke into his South Florida home in the middle of the night.
Sean got up to lock the bedroom door, went back to the bed to grab a machete from underneath the bed. And as his attorney tells it, by the time he got back to the door, it burst open on him, and shots were fired, and he had been shot once in the leg.
The wound that severed the femoral artery caused massive blood loss. Taylor never regained consciousness. He was 24. It's a holiday favorite.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Elmo Shropshire, who first sang that song in 1979, claims he's been run over by a company that sells bobblehead dolls, snow globes, and other novelty items based on an animated TV special built around Grandma. The Fred Rappaport Company says it has the rights to use the song in those products, but Shropshire has tried to block the marketing of the products, insisting the song can't be used without his permission. The company's suing him for $2 million. On Wall Street, a good day. The Dow Industrial is up 215 points. The NASDAQ up 39 as the price of oil slipped below $95 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Say you're looking for the perfect holiday gift. You could head out to peruse, moving from one retail expedition to the next as the holiday cheer slowly drains from your face and you start to resent all the carols and sleigh bells that only remind you you still got nothing for the person who already has everything. Except a sense of direction. So go with a TomTom. It's the world's number one selling automotive GPS. And now through the holidays, you'll get $100 off when you buy one. It's easy to use and easy to give. TomTom. Go confidently.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday only, from 4 p.m. to close, get 75% off the Craftsman Cordless Impact Screwdriver, just $9.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for future exclusive offers just for you. That's Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/26/07 through 11/27/07.
The U.S. Navy is part of an international relief effort in southwestern Bangladesh, where a cyclone 12 days ago killed more than 3,000 people. CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports.
Crews from the Kearsarge, a multipurpose U.S. Navy ship, have flown dozens of helicopter sorties, providing mostly fresh water for survivors in Bangladesh.
For fresh water, they rely on ponds, and the surge brought salt water in and salinated the ponds.
Admiral Timothy Keating says Navy medical personnel also have gone ashore to help, and he stresses the U.S. is just there to assist Bangladeshis.
We will do nothing that they don't ask for, and when they are done with us, we will leave.
A point to reassure locals who may be suspicious of a U.S. military presence. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
One man who lost two children in the storm calls the American sailors a blessing from Allah. The cyclone devastated crops. The Bangladesh government has put out a call for 500,000 tons of rice to prevent food shortages. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday only, from 4 p.m. to close, get 75% off the Craftsman Cordless Impact Screwdriver, just $9.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for future exclusive offers just for you. That's Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/26/07 through 11/27/07.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We got a lot to talk about, and I want to talk with you about it. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And we even pay for the call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You know, a lot of talk show hosts in a segment like this will rant and rave and pound the table and try to get you all fired up about some subject, and I'm not going to do that. I got plenty of callers here. We're going to go right to you in a moment. Instead, I would like to ask you for a favor, and it requires that you get a pen and pencil or some device to take down a mailing address. If you listen to this program regularly, you know that I am deeply and virulently opposed to the Military Commissions Act. I call it the Joe Stalin Detention, Interrogation, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. It was foisted on us by the Bush administration right in front of last year's midterm elections. And it's a barbaric piece of legislation that separates us from habeas corpus, from the Geneva Conventions, and from recognized international standards of humanity. And a Catholic priest who I've met a couple of times and find very inspiring, a Franciscan named Louis Vitale, decided not to just, call a radio talk show or write to his member of Congress. He put his own life on the line. And he was arrested for protesting in Fort Huachuca, Arizona, in November of 2006. He is now serving a 5-month sentence in a federal lockup in Arizona. And if you would be kind enough, I would like you to write a letter to Father Louis Vitale, and I'll give you the details here in a moment, and just let him know that you heard about this from Peter B., and that we support and offer our solidarity for his expression of opposition to this draconian and barbaric legislation. And so if you're inclined to do so, please write this down. It's Father Louis Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E. You need his inmate number, which is 258-03048. I'll repeat it twice. 258-03048. One more time. His inmate number is 258-03048. And then it's at CCA. That's one of those corporate prisons. CCA stands for Corrections Corporation of America. Box 6300. That's P.O. Box 6300 in Florence, Arizona. Florence, Arizona, zip code 85232. Again, the address, I'll go from the top. Louis Vitale, or Father Louis Vitale. Inmate number 258-03048. Next line, CCA. Next line, P.O. Box 6300, Florence, Arizona. And one more time, the zip code 85232. I hope you'll send him a Christmas card or a holiday greeting or just a little note, whatever strikes your fancy. But show him that we appreciate the statement that he has made on our behalf. Linda in Sacramento, you're up first in the free speech zone. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. I was writing down this address, and I think it's important. And I'm your weird caller who brings in odd things, like I called about Mexican corn farmers yesterday.
That's right.
But I want to talk to you about John Edwards. I don't hear a whole heck of a lot about John Edwards on radio. I have an AM Tivoli, is that what that is, Liz? Tivoli, and I have it's very good radio. My husband died last year, and he was my source of knowledge, and his mother, my mother-in-law, who was got out of the Mexican Revolution a couple of times. They were cattle farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a land grant. They were not, I heard, very impartial things, just what happened, you know, and there was all kinds. So she was very astute politically. And 20 years, 30 years after the fact, when I'd hear things, say, oh, come on. And they would be, she just had this crystal ball. And my husband was very, I feel lost without him, but I wanted to talk about John Edwards, whom we voted for when Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a talk host, has a show in Sacramento, and John Edwards was supposedly rumored in one of the tabloids to have had some affair with some woman, and this talk show host was talking about how scandalous this was and against family values, and this is a Democratic talk show host, okay?
Really?
Done a lot of...
Well, tell me who...
A lot of congressmen...
Just name names. Who is it?
What?
Who is the talk show host you're referring to?
Let me see. Who's the guy? You know, he's always, this is your, he wants a number one talk show host in the United States, and he's, he reminds us of Rush Limbaugh a little bit, but he's Democratic.
Oh, you mean Ed Schultz?
Ed Schultz, yeah, okay. Big Ed Schultz. He has some very good guests on.
Yes, he
but
does.
He came on with this, he and Wendy couldn't support anyone like that. Well, you know, the tabloid stinks anyway, and, you know, Mrs. John Edwards was approaching menopause or in menopause when she had all the injections of hormones to become pregnant to give John Edwards a son that he dearly wanted, and that he missed another son because his son was killed in an automobile accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman risked her life and developed cancer. And, you know, the women who called in to defend, if that should have happened, you know, we don't know. It's not a reliable source. Defend John Edwards, and I do, too. I mean, what?
Well, you know what, Linda? This is the first I've heard of any possible dalliance by Senator Edwards. And you know what? I don't care.
I don't either.
I'm not interested.
The women that called in to support John Edwards, all the people were women. And the point is, I'm sure the woman who loved him so much to have all that, you know, the hormones shot into her body that were dangerous, probably she's got, you know, she would support him anyway, and we don't know what kind of arrangement they have as husband and wife.
No, we don't. And you know, I don't even want to pursue this much further because
I'm
much more interested. I'm just much more interested, Linda, I'm interested in the politics and the proposals. And I'm also interested in seeing somebody other than Hillary Clinton win the Democratic nomination.
Oh, yes.
The most recent polls show that she would be defeated by John McCain. All right?
Oh, no.
And he's running with 7% support in most of the Republican polls that show him at all. So we really have to close ranks here, and it's not about you know, their personal lives. I don't care about that. What I want is a leader
really
for the United States who will get us out of Iraq, who will get us national health insurance, and who will really fight. And I don't agree with John Edwards on everything. I think that he's been a little too much tied to corporate Democrats in the past. But the policies that he has articulated since he lost in 2004 are very powerful. And I believe that he could be a very effective leader. Dennis Kucinich is still my guy on the issues and on ideals. But we're reaching the point where we have to make the tough decisions about who can actually win. Thanks for your call today. Now to Jen in Sacramento. Hello, Jen, listening on KSAC.
Hi, Peter V. Really quick, since we have an impending recession, I believe we're already in one, but they keep saying that it's coming. What are we doing to make people aware of it and getting prepared so they're just not out there walking the streets asking for a loaf of bread to feed their families? You know, that's just something that nobody wants to talk about, and it's right at our back door.
Well, it's at the front door for a lot of people whose mortgages have escalated in the monthly payments and who are being, you know, squeezed out of their homes. There are a lot of people who are just barely scraping by right now. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And with the escalating cost of gasoline, with the other hidden tax increases like, you know, fees at universities and just the general cost of doing business with the government, we are bearing, you know, a much greater burden. Working people are carrying the load as the wealthy in this country are enjoying the big tax cuts that Bush rammed through in his first term. And so the answer to your question is I'm glad you brought it up, and I don't think much is going on at all. I think people who are comfortable are grateful for that, but they're not necessarily thinking about the less fortunate. And I think that there are a lot of people who don't have the luxury of thinking about the big picture because they're trying to put dinner on the table tonight.
Right. I agree. Well, it's just unfortunate that people need to worry about things that we have no control over instead of what we can hopefully do now, and that is get prepared for what's coming. You know,
You make a very good point. And, Jen, my ears are still ringing from a recent call you made to the program, And I would just like to encourage you to call as often as you would like, because you really made a powerful statement as an African-American woman about the racist undertones and overtones that will confront Barack Obama if he becomes the Democratic nominee. And I really appreciate your courage and your candor in speaking up about that, because it's kind of off the table. You know, we're too polite to talk about the realities of hardball politics in this country.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So you keep calling, Jen, and I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Time to take a break, and then we'll return for more of your phone calls. There is now two lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Your voice could be next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
All right, folks, time for our traffic report. And that's what the music means. Morgan Hill closed in both directions of Dunn Avenue west of 101. The reason, police activity in the area. And as a result, you can expect delays. Hollister Highway 25 at Shore, getting word of a crash on the right shoulder of a van and a big rig involved. Also taking a look at Greenfield, south 101 for Hobson. Animals on the roadway. It's a small dog running around in Aptos, Larkin Valley area. Coralitos at Freedom, there's a vehicle on fire. It's on the right shoulder. Fire department is en route to the scene there. And also Marina Abrams at Imogen. Injury crash. Emergency crews are en route there. Saturday and versus the Cal Golden Bears take on Stanford Cardinals. Saturday, 4 p.m. only on versus. Versus college football, it's on. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you found us. Now, would you like to be vice president of marketing for your zip code and help spread the word about the PBC show? All right, you've got the gig.
I was walking down the
street. Just send emails to 10 of your friends tonight and say, hey, there's this groovy radio show, and they talk about things from our point of view. I'll be much obliged.
And I look round in a state of fright.
And have I ever told you that I don't like reggae? Love it.
Me up and down a bit and turn to each other.
Some Rasta boys from England called 10cc, and it's called Dreadlock Holiday. We've got Jack on the line from Eureka. Hello, Jack. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm coming to Eureka on Friday. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you.
Will you be over at the Eureka Theater?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd like to meet you in person, Jack.
Well, that'd be fine. I look forward to that, and we're doing an event 2 days before you get here. That's tomorrow morning, and so basically I'm here to, you know, express my concerns for people to know this and allow that they know what's happening locally here. And
well, give us the straight scoop. What's going on?
Well, we're the kind of people that have carried on the peace marches here. We'd rather call them justice and peace for years, and we've turned out thousands, and we continue to do demonstrations. We feel that local work is very important to keep the movement alive. We hope it helps to inspire people elsewhere to know that, hey, you can sit home and learn an awful lot of things, but eventually you've got to turn out and find one another in order to, support what you feel. And,
that's right.
It also is a bonding thing to get out together and do these things, and that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow morning. So it starts at 10 o'clock at the recruiting centers in Eureka on Broadway. That's just north of the Bayshore Mall, just in front of the Big Five Sporting Center, and although the recruiting center is in back, we will be out front in order to group up, and then we'll go back and talk about ourselves about what's happening with anti-recruitment in the schools and how the recruitment folks not knowing what they're doing. Rather than blaming, I'm just saying they hardly understand
Jack,
they're doing.
Here's an idea for you.
Sure.
I've been reading a bunch of stories over the past week about people who got a recruitment bonus when they signed up to join the Army or the Marine Corps.
Right.
Then they got injured in Iraq, and they were sent home because they were too injured to complete their tours.
Right.
And the military has demanded that they refund part of the signing bonus that they got when they were recruited into the military.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that,
incompassionate as, or uncompassionate as this government seems to be. Nothing like we were in the Second World War.
Well, it's obscene.
Yes,
and
it is.
If you see any young people lurking around the recruiter's office, be sure you tell them that. And then buy them a ticket to go see Lions for Lambs, the new movie. It's probably failing on the big screens, and it won't be there very much longer. But Robert Redford plays a college professor who has some students who, after 9/11, volunteered and go into the service and end up in combat duty in Afghanistan. And then there is another student who's kind of the frat boy. And it makes some very interesting points, and it is aimed at young people. So if you have a chance and you see some people there who are hanging out at the recruiting office, buy them a cup of coffee, buy them a ticket to the movie before they can get into the clutches of the recruiters. Jack, thanks for your call. I'll see you on Friday.
Okay.
All righty. Now to Duncan in Fieldbrook. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, Peter B. I look forward to welcoming you to Humboldt County as well.
Well, great. And you're bringing a whole busload of people over, isn't that right?
You broke the code.
Okay.
Hey, I really am very complimentary of the two guests you had on during the Israel-Palestine peace process discussion.
That was Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller and Phyllis Bennis from the Institute of Policy Studies.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear two people who have some rational viewpoints to express. What prompted the call, though, and I'd appreciate your opinion on it, is, you know, I get very discouraged, frankly. Jimmy Carter writes the book Peace Not Apartheid, and whether or not you agree with his viewpoints, you know, he gets absolutely trashed.
Right.
I saw the Christiane Amanpour segment on CNN, the program on basically the Israeli lobbies that are promoting expansion of settlements rather than any rational approach to settlements. So my question, I very much appreciate your thoughts, is, you know, is this like gun control? Is this like there's no way, no rational, strong enough political voice that will stand up and say, hey, can we forge peace in U.S., or is it just a third, or in Palestine, or is it just a third rail issue?
It's a great question, Duncan. I got to run to a break here. Why don't you hang on, and we'll talk about it right after the break.
Okay? Great.
Stay with us. 888-5-PETER-B. The Free Speech Zone is yours. Give us a call.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
We get to hear farther into space than anybody's ever heard before.
Yeah. Are there other people out there in the universe?
That's a good question. What do you think, huh?
I don't know.
That's a good answer. Skeptic, huh? Well, the most important thing is that you all keep searching for your own answers. I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe... pretty big place.
It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, it seems like an awful waste of space.
We are not alone. This is Bob Oliver. I have seen UFOs using night vision equipment. You can too. They are real just like you and me. Take the Quantum Leap Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on KRXA 540. That's 11 a.m. Saturday.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Thanks for letting me ride in the passenger seat. You're fighting traffic on the way home tonight. We've got lines open if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, or if you prefer, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. This part of our program is brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. They make great wines, and if you're eating organic, you should be drinking organic, too. Call them toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE, that's 888-ECO-WINE, or you can log on to their website at ecowine.com. That's the Organic Wine Company. We were talking just before the break with Duncan and Fieldbrook, he's back with us. Duncan, the question you posed basically is, can we have a rational discussion about the issues between Israel and Palestine?
Yeah, it really is.
And it's very, very difficult. When we had Phyllis Bennis and Rabbi Sachs Toller on the program, Phyllis pointed out that the motives of the Bush administration for this conference are not the same as what President Clinton and other predecessors tried to do. This is an effort to shore up support for our continuing occupation of Iraq and to try to also egg people on to supporting isolation of and ultimately a potential military action against Iran. And so if you look at those motives, then the photo ops and the flowery speeches that will dominate television coverage tonight and for part of tomorrow don't have any real solid connection to the situation. And we had Professor John Mearsheimer on the program a few weeks back. He's at the University of Chicago, co-author of the new book called The Israel Lobby. And what his book, it's lengthy, detailed, and despite the criticism that he and his co-author have received for being anti-Semitic, I think what they've done is an important piece of work, trying to help people understand the influence of the Israel lobby in this country and the extent to which that effective lobby prevents honest discussion and an honest broker's role for the United States in trying to balance the interests of Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And one of my colleagues recently pointed out something that I didn't know. And during the break, I went to Wikipedia, Duncan, just to confirm this so that I didn't misstate it. Do you know what Wolf Blitzer did before he was an anchor at CNN?
I thought he sold appliances, but I could be way off.
He worked as an editor of the monthly in-house publication of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Did not know that.
Me either. So he, just by definition there, cannot be considered to be a completely unbiased observer of this process.
Yeah, fair comment.
And, you know, this is just one example of the way the media doesn't give us honest reporting on the situation between Israel and Palestine. And it's complex. There's no doubt about it. But as I pointed out when we were talking with Bennis and Sachs Toller earlier today, the coverage on PBS just last night it did not include the very basic fact that in January of 1996, less than 2 years ago, Hamas won the election in Palestine.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not invited to these talks. And so they will be agitating against it among the Palestinian people. The Israelis who don't support Olmert because he has very thin support in his own country will be hoping that this fails. And so when you add it all up, this appears to be just a major photo op and a chance for Olmert to get out of Israel before they indict him again.
Do you think any of the current presidential candidates would be willing to take this on if they're once they're in office?
Well, the first person who jumps to mind is Bill Richardson.
Yeah.
He has the diplomatic experience, and he enjoys the give and take of tough negotiations. And he, I remember I took some notes on, I think it was the Philadelphia, quote-unquote, debate of the Democrats. And Richardson dropped what I call the D-bomb, I think 8 times in one answer, talking about diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy.
Yeah.
And that's been entirely missing, and the whole world knows that George W. Bush has very strong support for the government of Israel and has only tipped his hat about the need for an independent state for Palestine. Other than that, he's not been supportive of the aspirations of the Palestinian people.
I agree with you. I very strongly agree to your comment that, you know, he squandered an opportunity as a basically a lame duck president who didn't have to fear re-election, never taking a leadership role in this. Anyway, I really appreciate the comments and look forward to meeting you.
All right, Duncan, we'll see you Friday.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation. Gina in Sacramento, I was dying to talk to you. She's a big John Edwards fan, but her cell phone dropped. Up next, we've got Donna in Big Sur, right along the coast. Hello, Donna, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. It's me, Donna in Big Sur, still faithfully listening to you every day.
Well, okay? I appreciate
every
that, Donna.
Every day I listen to you, and I just got to admire you for all the amazing points that you bring out about what's going on. But I'm having a little difficulty with believing in the process.
The process of our political system, or you're talking about the peace process?
I'm talking about our voting process.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the peace process. Everything seems to be like an illusion for people. And I really don't understand why people can't get this, that this is an illusion, a delusion. It's like, what are we voting for?
Well, you raise a couple of interesting points. First of all, you know that I'm very concerned about the legitimacy of our own elections in this country. It's not limited to the voting machines. It's the processes. It's the vote caging efforts of Karl Rove and the U.S. attorneys who colluded with him. But that's not the whole picture. We also have a situation here where most people get their news from television. Television news is driven by images. And this administration, while it's fronted by a guy who can barely string two sentences together and can't even say nuclear, they are masters at manipulating imagery, at controlling perceptions. And they have sent two critical messages, I believe. One is that if you support this administration, the appropriate emotion is fear at all times.
That's right.
They want to scare you shipless. That's a P. and try to.
They're doing it pretty good.
Yes, they are. They want to keep you cowering in that position of powerlessness. And then for the rest of us, it's just a big old Dick Cheney, why don't you go F yourself? Because they run roughshod over our issues about the Constitution, about the rule of law, about the need to reconcile the law-breaking of the Bush administration with our system of justice as it formerly operated. And they just thumb their noses at us on a regular basis and say, we're in charge, and we really don't care what you think.
How can we stop this, Peter?
Well, it starts with awareness, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I'm glad that you listen as faithfully as you say you do. I really appreciate that. And the more you know, the more powerful you can be in your own life with the people you come into contact with. We try to give you as many opportunities for activism as we see that makes sense. You know, I don't want you to go stand on a corner by yourself. But, you know, recently we supported the people who were trying to get the California Democratic Party to censure Senator Feinstein.
Okay.
And that's the kind of move that we can make to assert ourselves and to assert progressive values in the face of these incredible sellouts by the Democratic Party. And the most recent ones that really have me worked up, we talked about yesterday with Odette Wilkins. The Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007 and the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, these are ugly, un-American pieces of legislation that should never have cleared the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives, but they have. And so we've got to remain vigilant. We have to remain skeptical. And we have to push even those who are with us on most of the issues to stay with us on the most critical issues of our time. I don't care if a senator or congressperson, you know, gets an earmark for a pet project in their district. I do care about human rights. I care about our constitutional rights. I care about our rights to privacy. And they seem to think that they can, you know, soft pedal that stuff as long as they bring home the pork. And it doesn't work that way for me.
You know what? Thank you, Peter. And you know what? There's a whole lot of us that are going to stand behind you on this.
All right, Donna. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from Big Sur today. Now to Joshua in Eureka. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling because I just wanted to mention something to counteract a comment made earlier that paid petitioners are somehow biased.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to just reaffirm actually two things. First of all, we are no biased. We are no more biased and not a part of, the commitment to the political process. We are the ones who bring you the initiative, the referendum process, and real democracy. And you see, yes, all of us get paid for it. And we do not belittle or minimize the issues any more than any of the candidates for the greatest office in this country, the presidency.
Well, Joshua, let me make a couple of comments.
Okay.
First of all, I hope that in the remarks I made that it didn't appear that I lumped all signature gatherers into one group.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Because
and by the way, Bill Richardson really has been a standout, and I really enjoy watching him, and he's really the only one I enjoy watching.
Well, in a lot of ways, and we've talked about this, at that Las Vegas debate, as everybody else was dancing around the hot potato subject of driver's licenses for undocumented, he just, you know, very clearly and candidly said, oh, I've already done that.
I've solved the job, yes.
And it's the right, thing to do. Go ahead, Joshua.
Now, this is regarding Hugo Chavez and the fact that Venezuela would be the source of basically help to the needy Americans who needed it. And, to me, that is a challenge to the American democracy by the current Venezuelan democracy, and that is something that, you know, if they're willing to provide cheap aid to families of low income, that might be something to really consider, in the grander scheme of things.
Joshua, I believe that Hugo Chavez is a very complicated character.
I'm not trying to uncomplicate him as much as I'm trying to say that, for people that need help in this country, where help is just not available, not in the form of health care, not in the form of reductions of utility bills and things like that. Funny that another country came to aid. Sorry, I've got a band of small martyrs coming and calling my name at the door, saying, it's time for us to come in.
All right. Well, Joshua, I appreciate your point. My issue is that I support the populism. I support the income redistribution.
Agreed.
I support the socialism that Hugo Chavez is promoting. I don't support his power grab, and I don't support his crackdown on dissidents who oppose his referendum.
Yes.
And I don't want him to use the kind of tactics that we've taught at the School of the Americas on the opposition in Venezuela. I can countenance that no more than having the right wingers who used the thuggery of the School of Americas to suppress popular
opinion. I agree
with
that. I just ask for all Americans to reconsider for a moment, what is it when another country comes to American aid? I mean, we are the biggest giver of aid around the globe. And what is it that we can't complete in our own country that Venezuela is the rescuer of? Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. Joshua, thanks for the call today. Great to have you listening. Now take care of the brood.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to shift control of the Peter B. Collins Show to my computer. Because three times today, as I have loaded the little musical bits that you hear as we're going in and out of breaks, the computer has selected the commercial here for Mr. Closeted Gay Conservative Congressman. So I think I better just play it.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can. In as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Ah, a letter from...
I think I grabbed the wrong one. My computer is really on a bender today. So you will accept my apology, I hope. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live and unrehearsed. Can you tell?
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee Topia. Tinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Central Coast. With hot new games, books, a huge selection of toys, and a friendly, knowledgeable staff at two great stores. Kids and parents love Tinker Toys. Make this holiday season your family's best ever by letting Tinker Toys help you choose the ideal gift for the children in your life. Avoid the last-minute rush and stop by Tinker Toys today. Open daily. Tinker Toys is in the Del Monte Center and in downtown Carmel.
All right, folks, it is that time. It's the last traffic report of the night. And let's get right to it. Anything going on here, let's let you know. Well, we do have a problem in, Santa Clara. We're going to report it just for the heck of it. San Tomas Expressway at 101, two-car crash. Hollister Highway 25 at Shore on the right shoulder. It's a van and a big rig
reported involved in a crash. Also want to mention Santa Cruz because we have some road construction there. Northbound 1 at M Line, the off-ramp remains closed until the summer of 2008. And we also want to tell you about some slow traffic. Eastbound 29 slows between Watsonville and Aromas. Excuse me, eastbound 24 possible reports of slow-and-go traffic in pockets from Gilroy into Hollister. And southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. It is slow. This report brought to you by College Football on Versus Saturday. Cal versus Stanford, 4 p.m. on Versus.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rocks on into the night. I'm glad you're listening. You can call into the program at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Just one more reminder. I'll be live in Eureka this Friday. I want everybody to come out and say hello. If you've ever called the program or even thought about it, please do. We'd love to meet you and show a lot of support for the program in Eureka. And it's only $10 to get into the Eureka Theater, either for the live broadcast or for Roy Zimmerman's evening performance. We're giving a half off to veterans, and Carl Jung and his crew are going to be there. Also, Dave Berman from the Humboldt Election Action Group is going to be there to talk with us. It's going to be a great broadcast, so I hope you'll come out and see us. And then Roy Zimmerman will take the stage and entertain us with his satirical political songs after the live broadcast. So it's going to be a great evening, a great afternoon. So join us at the Eureka Theater this Friday, November 30th. And you know what? I'm going to bring some prizes along. And the first person who comes to me and can demonstrate from a driver's license or other ID that you came from the Coos Bay, Oregon area, and you listen to KBBR, I'm going to have a nice little prize for you in the DVD category. So first person from Coos Bay who identifies themselves as such after 3 p.m. on Friday, I'll have a nice little reward for you, and I hope you will make the drive down the coast. Love to see you there. Now to Peter V. in Salinas. Hello, Peter.
Peter, you make the taillights tolerable. That's what I have to say about my drive time.
Thank you.
Peter, I had a comment on Odette Wilkins that you had on yesterday.
Yeah.
I consider her a very bright legal light, in my opinion. And I can't remember the name of the caller from Sacramento that wanted a balanced opinion to that.
I think his name was Mike.
Mike.
That's
well,
what I recall.
I have a suggestion, Peter, that you get a recording of either Hitler or Mussolini, so that when somebody's looking for a balanced opinion, you play Hitler for them, would you? Thank you, Peter.
All right, Danke schön, I think. Susan in SoCal, you're next here.
Hi,
in the
Peter,
free speech
how are
zone.
You?
Doing okay today, and you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
All right, what's on your mind, Susan?
Well,
first of all, can I just give you credit?
For what?
That you were the person who emailed me and tipped me off to the progressive Democrats who were working to win a censure vote against Dianne Feinstein at the recent state political convention.
Okay.
And I want to give you credit for that because you're a very thoughtful person. You've got a good network of connections, and I appreciate it when you tip me off.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I like to do that. I send all kinds of things. I don't know if you appreciate all of them.
Well, you know, I get about 100 emails a day, and that's after we eliminate the spam.
Right.
So I do read almost everything, but a good subject line is always helpful to get my attention because I do get so much stuff.
Yeah, well, that was an important one. I think it got her attention.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. But
yeah. but I was thinking about the woman who said, you know, Peter, what can we do, you know? And I was thinking how the other side has been working for, you know, over 40 years.
Right.
Doing their thing. And I think that the mistake that we might make is that we don't get that strategy is really important. And I don't know how you take care of that because we, as I'm going to, you know, make a general statement that I think that Democrats are kind of very transparent. You know, we don't do a lot of sneaking around and hiding to do what we do. We like to speak out and say what we mean. And
well, I think that applies to you and me. I'm not so sure about all the people
everybody.
We've elected.
Yeah, but I'm thinking we kind of have to meet them at their game. You know, we have to be able to play their game, which is a strategy game. And so, you know, people will need to gather together, you know, maybe behind closed doors and make sure there's no agents in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In order for things to change, there have to be new strategies. I think.
Well, and one of them, Susan, has to be that, you know, I'm a registered independent, but I rarely vote Republican, so I mostly by default do vote with the Democrats.
Right.
And it's really frustrating to me because of the way that the Democrats recruited rich conservative candidates to win back the majority. And yesterday's New York Times profiled all of the Republicans who got elected in the past couple of cycles who have contributed large amounts to their own campaigns. So,
right. Yeah.
You know,
right.
700,000 here, 300,000 there.
Right.
And so we really need to have people take hold at the grassroots level.
Yes.
And say, you know, we're not interested in fat cat Democrats. How about some college professors? How about some sociologists? How about some social workers? How about some moms?
Yeah,
instead
but that's
of
only
these
one form. That's still electoral strategizing, but I'm talking about other things like, for instance, the way the Republicans have slipped all these horrible things into bills in Congress because, as John Conyers said, we don't read them,
yeah.
You know? Well, isn't it time maybe we got some things into some bills, too?
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Because they never read them. All right,
okay.
I got to run,
see you
Susan.
Later.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Until
brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. Give them a call at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Mideast Peace Conference wrapped up late today with cautious optimism that Israel and the Palestinians are back on track.
The Annapolis Conference has thus been the beginning, not the end, of a new, serious, and substantive effort to achieve peace in the Middle East.
But Secretary of State Rice and President Bush warn it will not be easy. There are obstacles ahead. Among them is the rivalry between Palestinian factions, Fatah and Hamas. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports there was violence today when Hamas supporters demonstrated against the peace conference.
Syed Erekat, a senior Palestinian peace negotiator, denies Fatah forces are following government orders.
Orders to go and harass or arrest Hamas supporters. Have they had such orders?
I don't think they have any orders.
Then why are they doing it?
I think this is wrong. I condemn this.
Yeah, I know, but why are they doing it? You're supposed to be in control of them.
But well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not in control. Of many things I'm not in control.
But if Fatah's leaders aren't in control of their own forces at home, how credible are their promises in Annapolis, thousands of miles away? Elizabeth Palmer, CBS News, the West Bank.
Has anyone ever bought something with your credit card number or used your identity to open accounts and run up debts? Welcome to the club. The Federal Trade Commission says more than 8 million Americans were victimized in 2005, and the costs, according to Joanna Crane of the FTC's Identity Theft Program, are considerable.
There's the measurable cost of time spent and out-of-pocket expenses, but there's a whole other realm of just frustration, emotional problems, harassment that people endure and have reported to us about.
Financial costs appear to be the least of it. The FTC says half the victims had no out-of-pocket expenses at all. The holiday shopping season is off to a great start for e-tailers. ComScore, which tracks online sales, says consumers spent $733 million yesterday, an increase of 21% over Cyber Monday last year. Mark Everson, the latest president of the Red Cross, has been ousted. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The Red Cross said in a statement that Everson's resignation was asked for and received after the board learned of his personal relationship with a subordinate. The statement goes on to say that relationship reflected poor judgment. Everson is married and has two children. He had